Amen. Thank you, girls, for using your gifts, your talents. We have a very talented group of people here in our church, period, overall. And so we're thankful for that. It really kind of plays into our message for today. The talents that we have as the body of Christ. And so let me begin this morning, get the tall man's mic out of the way here real quick. But I want to begin by just simply asking a question, all right? I'm going to be full of questions this morning. All of the questions I will ask you this morning are rhetorical. I have to remind you of that. Some of you like to answer out loud. But just think about your answers to these questions. Here's the first one. What is the most interesting thing you have ever done? What is the most interesting thing you have ever done? I'm going to tell you a little story. Last Christmas, as a staff, we got together and we had our staff Christmas party here at the church. And we played a little game that's really fun to play to kind of help you get to know some interesting things about each other. This game is called Two Truths and a Lie. And how you play this game is like this. You come up with three statements about yourself, and then you share those statements with the group. Now, two of those statements are truthful. One of them is not so much truthful. And the object is for those who are in the group listening to you, that they would try to figure out which one of your statements is not the truth. And just kind of as a side note, I'll tell you that you have some staff members who are really good at this game. We have some staff members and their wives who are really good at this game. I don't know if they're just really good liars or very creative thinkers, but we're gonna hope and just think they're very creative thinkers, right? No, we know that they're just very creative thinkers. So I want to show you how this game works, all right? I'm not real good at this, but I'm going to show you how this works. Let me give you three statements about myself, see if you can figure out which one's not true. First statement is this. Once I had a close encounter with a Russian naval destroyer. I have a head full of gray hair. Really? And then I won a trophy in a bodybuilding competition. I figure more laughing there, too. I figured it'd be more laughing, all right? All right, let's see if you can figure this out. By show of hands, all right, just by show of hands, how many of you would believe the first one is not true? Just show of hands. You guys are really good at this. That's actually true. All right, I was in the Navy. When I was in the Navy, we did a med cruise. We got to go up in the Black Sea, and while we were in the Black Sea, we had a Russian naval destroyer come about 100 yards away from us and rode alongside of us for a little while just to say hello and let us know that they knew we were there. So that was very interesting. So how many of you believe that the second one is not true? Raise your hands. Wow. You're wrong, actually. Most of my hair is still there if I didn't shave it. And most of what I still have is pretty gray. And so I do have a head full of gray hair if I didn't shave it. So that's mostly true, all right? So it's not really a lie. So that only leaves the last one, right? That I've won a trophy in a bodybuilding competition. And if you thought that that one was not true, then, well, you're wrong again. I just couldn't bring myself to preach to you and lie at the same time. And so that one's actually true as well. When I was 16 years old, I competed in a bodybuilding competition. I know it doesn't look like it, but that was a long, long time ago. And I actually won a fourth place trophy out of four people. And so I got a fourth place trophy to coming in last place, and this is the cool part. This was in the late 80s before they started handing out participation trophies, and so I'm sort of a trendsetter, right? Not everybody can say that. See, when I was 16 years old, I really wanted to be a bodybuilder. I wanted to be a competitive bodybuilder. My mom and dad, we owned a gym in town, and so I got to work out for free. Money wasn't an issue. I helped work the gym, and so I was there all the time. I got to work out all the time. That wasn't an issue. I even tried to figure out, how do I eat just right, you know, to help grow my body and build my body, and how do I like supplement just right? There's so many little things about bodybuilding, but there was a problem with me being a good bodybuilder is that I didn't really have a great understanding of all those little nuances. I didn't really know how to work out just right. I didn't know how to eat just right. You see, if I wanted to continue in this journey to become a competitive bodybuilder, I was going to need some help. I was going to need a team to come around me, because that's what good bodybuilders have. They have a team that comes around them to help them build their body. They'll have spotters who will go with them to the gym and help them lift weights. And so, like, if I'm doing bench, they're there to help me go beyond what I can do all on my own. They'll even hire coaches to help them nutritionally, to know how to eat just right or how to lift just right, how to take just the right supplements in order to build their bodies. You see, good bodybuilders build their bodies with a team. And the really good bodybuilders have a top-notch team of people that come alongside them who are very gifted in very specific ways, and they even help them set goals to help them achieve building the body that they want to build. So here's another question for you this morning. Did you know Jesus is a bodybuilder? Like, before you start picturing Jesus striking a pose, right? Jesus is all about building his body. But we're not talking about the physical body. He's not that kind of bodybuilder. Jesus is all about building the body of Christ, which is the church made up of Christ followers. And in that sense, Jesus is a bodybuilder. He even has a team that he puts together to help him build his body. And he's even given us some goals that we can strive toward to help us reach the end goal of building his body exactly the way he wants it to be built. Hopefully I'll show you all of that as we dive into Scripture this morning. And so if you have your Bible this morning, we're continuing our series on unity. If you're using a Bible, maybe a Bible app, we'll be in the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4, looking at verses 11 through 16. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. As you're turning there, before I read, let me lead us in a word of prayer. A mighty fortress is our God. Almighty God, you are mighty. You are a great fortress, a lover of all mankind. God, you have gifted us in so many ways. And I pray this morning, as we come together to talk about how you build your body, that we would be able to make those connections this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would help us make the connections between the gifts that you've given us to the work that you have called us to accomplish. So, Father, would your Spirit this morning take up your word, which is his sword. Allow him to penetrate our hearts and transform our lives. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, follow along as I read these verses for us. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, verses 11 through 13 are really our key verses this morning. And so I want us to go back and look at each of these verses, starting with verse 11. In verse 11, we see Jesus' team of builders. I told you, he's putting together a team to help him build his body. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Another question for you this morning, again, rhetorical, don't answer out loud. How many different groups of people do you see in this verse? Do you see five different groups of people, maybe four, three, or maybe two? Maybe the answer to that depends on how you clump these groups together. Paul clumps them together in four different groups. He separates them by the word the. He says the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. And I'm going to simplify it even more. I'm going to break it down into three groups this morning. First of all, we have the apostles and the prophets. Remember, this is the team God's using to build his body. Apostle is defined as a divinely appointed representative. So in a very broad sense of the word apostle, all Christ followers have an apostolic ministry. We are divinely appointed, chosen by God. We are representatives, chosen by God to be his representatives in the world. So in a very broad sense of the word, we have an apostolic ministry. But even though we are divinely appointed representatives of God, we don't go around calling ourselves apostles. See, in a very strict sense of the word, an apostle was someone who had been chosen by Jesus Christ himself, witnessed his resurrection, and then was appointed by Jesus to go and tell the world the good news about Jesus' resurrection and the salvation that is offered through Jesus. The apostles included the 11 disciples minus Judas, plus others who are called apostles throughout Scripture, such as Paul, Matthias, Barnabas, the brother of Jesus, James, the brother of Jesus, Silas, Andronicus, and Junius. These were apostles that we see in Scripture. In the same way, a prophet is defined as someone who proclaims the word of God. Again, so in a very broad sense of the word here, prophets, all Christ followers have a prophetic ministry. We're chosen by God to spread his word to all the world. But even though we all have a prophetic ministry, we don't go around calling ourselves prophets. In a strict sense of the word prophet, these were people in the Bible who had been given a very specific and special word from God. Sometimes God would speak and give them a word that would warn people of future events. And most of the time, though, God spoke to them and gave them a word to encourage, exhort, and even strengthen his people. So in other words, God spoke through prophets to deliver specific messages for particular times and places. Now, earlier in Ephesians, in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul tells us that all Christ followers are united as fellow citizens and members of the household of God. And we're all part of God's family, his church, the body of Christ. But then in verse 20, he says this. He says that we are all being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. You see, in the Baptist tradition, we don't go around calling ourselves prophets and apostles, even though in a very broad sense of the word, that we all have ministry that parallels that of the apostles and the prophets. We reserve those titles for people in the Bible that God had called and given special gifts to use at particular times in particular places. The apostles and prophets were used by God to lay the foundation for his church, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. So the first group of people that are part of God's team building his church that we see were helping build the foundation. This was the apostles and the prophets. They were helping lay the foundation. The next group is a group of what we're going to call missionaries. See, Paul calls them evangelists. In Paul's day, an evangelist would be what we would consider similar to a missionary in our world today. These were people who were gifted by God and called by God to go out and reach people who had not yet been reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes in Paul's day, these people would go out and they would share the good news about Jesus. And when people believed in Jesus and made the commitment to follow Jesus, they would stick around long enough to plant a church and start helping them grow. And once they got established and maybe when they got new leadership in place, then they would go on to the next place. And they would share the good news of Jesus and would take believers and build them up and plant another church. And it just went on and on and on. In Paul's day, these were evangelists. We would call them missionaries today. Obviously, we still have evangelists and missionaries in our church today. As a local church, we support several missionaries that go all around the world spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to places that have yet been reached with the good news of Jesus Christ, telling people who are yet become part of the body of Christ, telling them about Jesus and how they can become part of the body. But as a Southern Baptist church, we partner with churches all around the world who send missionaries to all kinds of places in the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And some of these places that they go, there are people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. I've been to some of those places. It's crazy to talk to people who, when you mention Jesus Christ, we take that so much for granted. But when you mention Jesus, they just sit there and look at you with this look on their face because they know nothing about Jesus. As a Southern Baptist church, we partner with other churches to send missionaries to those kinds of places. We even send them into places where people groups have never had contact with outside people, like anybody outside of their own little group. They're very remote people. So we still have evangelists and missionaries. The final group we're looking at this morning, and we see in verse 11, is what we're calling local pastors. Paul clumps pastors and teachers together, and so we're clumping them together too this morning. He calls them shepherds and teachers, pastors. He didn't separate them by the word "the." Like, he didn't say "the pastors" and "the teachers" or "the shepherds" and these the teachers, like he separated all the rest. These pastors and teachers or shepherds were those who were called and gifted by God to work in the local church. We obviously, we still have pastors and teachers today, thankfully. I wouldn't have a job. Now, the point that I want you to see from verse 11 this morning that's very important is this, that Jesus calls and gives gifts to some to accomplish his work in the church. He used the apostles and the prophets to lay the foundation for his church, and today he continues building his body through missionaries and local pastors who are called to accomplish his work in the church. When we get to verse 12, we begin to see what that work is. The work they are to accomplish is the work of building his body. Ephesians 4:12 says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, I know, and maybe you know some people as well, that believe that the work of ministry is to be done by the paid ministerial staff. Well, actually, according to what the Bible says, the work of ministry is meant to be done by the saints. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't act like a saint. Well, it doesn't matter if you act like a saint. What matters is if you are a Christ follower. If you're a Christ follower, then you fall into that category. And what Scripture says is that those of us who are called to work in the church, to accomplish his work in the church, are here to help you do the work of ministry. So here's the key concept I want you to understand this morning. This is so key, from vital for understanding and growing as a church, is that Jesus calls and gives gifts to some to accomplish his work in the church, where his people are to be equipped to do his work in the world. And what is the work we're to be doing in the world? Well, if you look with me at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we see that work. It says, and Jesus came and said, so these are Jesus' words. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Did you hear what Jesus said in verse 19? He said, go. He said, go and make disciples. That defines the work that we're to be doing in the world. And understand this morning, that this work is so important that the return of Jesus Christ hinges on us accomplishing our work in the world. Listen to Matthew 24:14. It says, in this gospel of the kingdom, right? The same as going and making disciples. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. It will be important. Remember that statement as we get to the end of our message. It will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony, the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You see, Jesus' return hinges on us accomplishing our work in the world. You see, that's why Jesus calls and gives gifts to some to accomplish his work in the church, where his people are to be equipped to go and accomplish his work in the world. That work is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world until every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every person has had the opportunity to know Jesus the way we know Jesus. So every person on the face of this earth has had the opportunity to believe in Jesus and have the relationship that we have. So in verse 11, we see the team of builders that Jesus is using. In verse 12, we see the specific work is to build the body. And then when we get to verse 13, we see this end goal that he's given us. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's some key words in that verse, like fullness, mature, the measure and stature of Christ. These are words that kind of talk about completeness. And so when Paul is talking about striving towards unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, he's not just talking about, hey, can we all just get along? It's something much deeper than that. And when he's talking about knowledge of the Son of God, he's not just talking about a surface level knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's something so much deeper than that. When Paul's talking about here is complete unity in the faith and complete knowledge of the Son of God. And quickly, complete unity in the faith means having unity of the heart. This means that we're loving one another and we're learning to live at peace with one another in the body of Christ. It also means having unity of the mind, right? That when it comes to basic doctrinal truths, some which Anthony showed earlier, and we didn't even plan that, right? That's a God thing. Some like Anthony showed earlier, those are basic doctrinal truths, that when it comes to this unity of mind, that we're on the same page together, that we have unity of mind. There may be secondary issues that we will not agree on, but those are secondary. When it comes to primary issues of the faith, that we have a one mind, unity of the mind. So having complete unity in the faith means having unity of the heart and unity of the mind, but it also means having unity in mission. I don't want us to miss that this morning. Our mission as Christ followers is to go and make Jesus known. And if God's people could ever get unified in mission, like if we could get focused on our mission, nothing could stand in our way. The gates of hell would not prevail. Nothing could stand in our way. We would accomplish the work that God has given us to do. So the end goal is that we would have complete unity in the faith, but also complete knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Complete knowledge. But we'll never have complete knowledge of Jesus until we see him face to face. When he returns one day, at that point, we'll have complete knowledge. Or maybe our knowledge will begin to grow. But here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. He's comparing how we can see now and how we will see after Christ returns. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." There's a lot of coolness in that verse, but that last little statement right there is a pretty big statement. Right? Even as I have been fully known. You see, you and I are fully known by God. Like God created us. He knows us inside and out. He knows us fully. And if we know him by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, then we can also grow to know him more and more as we walk by faith with Jesus Christ here on earth. So we are known by God. We can also know God and we can grow to know God more and more. But it's never been about just us knowing Jesus. If that's what we think the Christian life is all about, then we've missed the point. You see, God's goal, his mission is a global goal. Like he wants all men to come to know him. All men to have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Once we come to know Jesus, it's our responsibility to go and make Jesus known. If you don't hear anything else I say to you this morning, I hope you hear that. Like once we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it is our responsibility and God-given mission to go and make Jesus known. This is not just Tracy telling you this. This is Jesus. Listen to Mark 16, 15, and 16. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Why do we need to do this? Because whoever believes in Jesus and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned, and that's eternal. So this is important. See, if we know Jesus, it's our God-given responsibility to go and make Jesus known. As we go and make Jesus known, the body of Christ, it's going to grow because more and more people will come to know Jesus. But if we, as the body of Christ, are going to be healthy enough to go out and grow the body of Christ, then we too need to focus on growing. This is where the goals come into play, that we have some goals that we can strive toward. If we go back and look at verse 13, I'm going to show you these goals. There's three intermediate goals that we can use to grow as Christ followers. The first one is that we would grow in. So we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and his ways. This means we become men and women who are in love with God's word. That we devour God's word. We don't just read it. We don't just read it and reflect on it. But we read it, reflect upon it, and we respond to God's word. But we don't want to just have a book knowledge. We also want to have an experiential knowledge. This is where the second goal comes in. We need to grow up. We need to grow up in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to grow more and more, come to know Jesus more and more. Now, one of the ways that we can grow to know Jesus more and more is by, again, being men and women of God's Word. We can learn about Jesus by reading God's Word. But the other way we learn about Jesus is as we walk by faith, being obedient to God's Word. Learning and living out the lessons and lifestyle of Jesus Christ. So we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and His ways. We need to grow up in our relationship with Jesus Christ, but we also need to grow out in our relationships with others. For those of us who are already a part of the local body of believers, this means that we learn to be unified, that we learn to love each other, that we learn to live at peace with one another. And ultimately, hear this, that we learn to relate to one another the way Jesus relates to us. That's really what it boils down to, that we would learn to grow out in our relationships with one another by learning to relate to one another the way Jesus relates to us, having the patience that He has with us. As Brother Dr. Baxter would say, long-suffering, right? That we would learn to relate to one another the way Jesus would relate to us. It also, when we think about our relationships to people who are not yet a part of the body of Christ, same thing. That we learn to relate to them the same way Jesus relates to us, with all of His unconditional love, with all of His forgiveness, His long-suffering, His patience, that we relate to other people the way Jesus relates to us. So we don't just show them Jesus, we also want to tell them about Jesus. So our intermediate goals, here's our goals to kind of help us build the body. We want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and His ways. We want to grow up in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want to grow out in our relationship with others. But I'm going to even simplify that for us this morning. I'm going to give you that goal in one phrase. That goal is to grow in knowing and making Jesus known. Your goal as a Christ follower should simply be, hey, I want to know Jesus. I want to make Him known. I want to grow in that. I want to know Him more tomorrow than I do today. I want to make Him known more and more every single day. So to grow in knowing and making Jesus known, this is how Jesus will grow His body, will build His body. You see, He will use some of us in the church to help equip His people to know and make Jesus known in the world. This is how Jesus is going to build His church. See, I've learned something in my lifetime, especially in ministry. I've done a lot of different things in ministry, served in a lot of different positions, and I've learned one thing, and that's this. Maybe I've learned more than one, but this is one big thing I've learned. It's regardless of our position, we all have the same mission, and that mission is to know and make Jesus known. That's how Jesus will build His body. That's how you can be a part of the team that God is building to build His body. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Cade and I sat down and talked about this the other day. Over the past probably 8 years or so, I've really struggled with this whole body analogy in Scripture. I hear pastors say things like, you know, the body that is missing an arm or a leg is just not a complete body. And the body of Christ is not complete if you're not doing your part. And you may wonder why I really would struggle with that analogy. But many of you know that I have children at home who are missing limbs. I have two little boys who are missing their arms. One's missing his feet. That's why I struggle with that analogy. Because we say it so flippantly as if you don't do your part, God's not going to be able to accomplish His work. I want you to hear something this morning. And it's very true. Very true. That a body that's missing limbs is not complete. Just like the body without you doing your part's not fully complete. But many of you know this to be true because you've watched my boys. And you know as well as I know that their bodies may not be complete like most of our bodies are, but there is a spirit inside of them that perseveres and pushes beyond what anybody thinks they can do. Right? There is a spirit inside of them that pushes beyond and perseveres. They can do things that even kids their own age who are able-bodied, have their limbs, can't even do. Right? It's amazing. And many of you know this. Watching people who are missing limbs show the rest of us in the world how to persevere and push beyond. It's true. This whole body analogy, it's true. There's so much truth packed into that. But I want you to hear this morning. Just like people who are missing limbs have this spirit inside of them that perseveres and pushes beyond, there is a spirit inside the body of Christ. It's the spirit of Almighty God. It's the spirit that will take his body and it will cause us to persevere. And we will push beyond. We will accomplish God's work. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So there's a spirit inside this body. It's God's Holy Spirit, and he will continue to push his church to accomplish his work, even if you choose not to do your part. You can choose to continue being that missing limb. The only thing that's really missing is that you're missing out on being a part of what God's doing. It's an invitation this morning. This is an invitation for those of us who already know Jesus to grow to know Jesus more. It's an invitation this morning for those of us who already know Jesus to get to work making Jesus known. But know this, even if you don't accept the invitation to begin growing as a Christ follower, and you don't accept the invitation to get to work and start putting your gifts to work to help the body grow and to build the body to accomplish our work in the world, even if you choose to be that missing limb, the body will persevere. We will push on. God will accomplish his work. It's an invitation. But the choice is yours whether or not you come to be a part of what God is doing. So I want to leave us with a couple of application questions. I know I'm running long. Hopefully it's been worth your time. Two applications for you this week. What can you do this week to grow to know Jesus more? What can you do this week to grow to know Jesus more? And second, how can you make Jesus known this week at home, where you work, and where you play? There's probably some here this morning who don't know Jesus. I mean, you might know of Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you and you're here this morning and you don't really know Jesus and you want to know more about how you can have that relationship with Jesus, then we would love to talk with you. You may even be here and you don't know Jesus. You don't have that relationship with him, but you're ready to begin that relationship. It's like, man, let's just get going. Tell me what I need to know and let's go. I want to start today. If that's you, then we'd love to talk with you as well. Anthony's going to come in just a moment. We're going to sing one last song. This will be our closing hymn this morning. This will be our time of response where you can respond to God's word. If you want to come and make the commitment today to follow Jesus, make public your profession of faith in Jesus, then you come, let us know. If you want to know more, come let us know. We'll stay after and talk with you as long as we need to. Maybe you need to join this local body of believers and become a part of what God is doing. Maybe you need to get involved in a small group so that you can grow even more. This is great that you come on Sunday mornings, but we have small groups that are made intentionally and created that way so that you can grow more in your faith with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to become a part of one of those. Or maybe you've been hoarding your gifts. You've been holding back being that missing limb and you're tired of missing out. If you want to come and be a part of what God's doing, you come let us know. We'll plug you in. However God wants to plug you in. He's gifted you. Will you use those gifts for his glory and the greater good of others?